pray together. Jesus, we thank you that you are a God of relationship and that prayer is all about that. That you invite us into relationship with you all the time. Lord, in fact, prayer doesn't have to cease. It could be like breathing. We think about you and we speak to you even under our breath, in our mind and our hearts. And I pray for us this morning as a church community. May something happen in all of our lives that brings us into breakthrough in prayer. We ask that in faith in Jesus' name, Lord. And as your word is opened this morning, speak to every one of us. Let us hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been an uncomfortable few hours. It's like the atmosphere is changing. We read that the devil entered Judas, who's going to betray Jesus in a little while. And then Jesus is with the 11 that's left. Judas is still there in that moment. And Jesus speaks about what's to come. He says, I'm going to suffer. The word has to be fulfilled. The Passover is there, and he's actually sent out these disciples prophetically to say, go and find a place for us to have the Passover. And say, who are we going to find? And he says, you'll find a man and he's going to have a place and you're going to prepare it. In fact, it's a guest room. And when you get in there, prepare the Passover feast there. And then he says, this will be my last one on earth with you. Jesus institutes the Eucharist, the bread and the wine for the first time. It's been introduced before, if we read the story of the Bible, time and time again, awakening in them this idea of flesh and blood. But this night it feels different because there's just an uneasiness of everything that's happening. And he tells them, this is my body. It will be broken for you. This is my blood that I'm going to shed for you. And then he says, one of you going to betray me. The atmosphere just got even thicker in that moment. I've been to some family dinners where the table gets thick. You guys relate? They pick up on the vibes. They wonder how's it all going to play out. And then they start quibbling with one another about who's going to be the greatest. Not reading the room well. And then Jesus turns to Peter and he says, Simon, the devil asked to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you've turned again, when you've gone through that trial and you turned again, strengthen your brothers. He speaks about the fulfillment of Scripture, that all of this needs to happen. And they're still feeling that weight. And then he gets up and he leaves the room. And that's where we pick up this morning in Luke chapter 22. You can read with me on the screens. And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. That's what we do here. We follow Jesus. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples. He found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." While he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him. What an interesting moment, right? You know, something is up, and Jesus knows that things are about to go down. So after this moment of being in the room, he says, there's only one proper response now, and that is prayer. There's only one thing left to do, and that is to pray. Jesus rose to go and pray, and his disciples followed him, and he is in agony while they are sleeping. At a chapel service in Manila a couple of weeks ago when I was there for my studies, we looked at this text, and Dr. Dave Ward asked a question: are we sleeping when Jesus is praying? Are we sleeping when Jesus is praying? Which side of the garden would you have been on that night? Kneeling with Jesus in prayer? Or sleeping with the disciples? Slipping into the comforts of the flesh, too paralyzed to pray. And I think about Peter, and I think about what Jesus said. Because he said, "Peter, 3 times the rooster will crow. 3 times you will deny me before that happens." If I was Peter, I would have been praying. But somehow he fell asleep with the others. You see, the disciples, just like us, just so often don't quite get it right, right? Because there's another moment where we read in the Gospels where the disciples were praying while Jesus was sleeping. They were in a boat, and they're in a storm, and they're crying out, and they go, "Jesus, wake up, you've got to save us." And he is in deep sleep. That's us, right? When the storm hits, oh my goodness, you see us pray. But when Jesus says, "Come, pray that you don't fall into temptation," that's the very thing we do. We fall into temptation. How often do we wait first for the storms where we should have been prepared in prayer? Are we sleeping when Jesus is praying? Are we praying when he has got it and he is in control and he knows what he is doing? These two questions impacted me and my classmates deeply. It haunted me for a long time, and it led me to realize that I so often fall asleep in my faith, not standing firm, not praying, not being continually aware of him, speaking to him, bringing things to him. And I said, "Jesus, I need to change." And you know what? He's faithful. He's helped me grow since I heard these two questions a few weeks back. But in the story, if we look a little bit deeper, we discover some things that will help all of us this morning to grow in prayer. We can look at it, we can read it, and we can see some things that will help us pray better and do better. Because I believe it is time for the church to rise and pray like never before. It's time for us to rise and pray, yes, to continue attending church, yes, to continue reading our Bible, yes, to continue in our worship, yes, to continue in our giving, yes, to do all those things, but church, it's a season for us to rise and pray. Amen. How do we do it? Well, we do it by learning from Jesus. And this morning, we're simply going to look at Jesus, and we're going to listen to Jesus. First of all, the story tells us that he went to the Mount of Olives. If you read it in the other Gospels, it's the Garden of Gethsemane, as was his custom. So when we look at Jesus, we see that prayer for him was often. And you read the gospel story, and throughout it, you see that Jesus just took moments, every opportunity he had to pray. Jesus knew that in order to be sustained in this life, he better pray and he better do it often. Because he's about to face some demonic activity. He's about to face a whole lot of people needs. He's about to travel and work for days and have nowhere to lay down his head. There was opposition building. His disciples were missing the plot. And Jesus knew, I need to pray. See, when things get tough and the calendar lines up and the weeks are hard and work, what do? We become victims. But there's another road that we can choose. It's a road of prayer. As was his custom. What are our prayer customs looking like at the moment? Jesus knew, I got to go pray. I've got to keep my regular prayer rhythms going. But then as we look to Jesus in this story, we see that he prayed kneeling. And this is a profound moment because when we read the Gospels, no other place is it said so explicitly that Jesus kneeled to pray. So when we see something in the Bible that might, because he prayed throughout, he would speak to the Father, he would be at pre-meetings, he would pray with his disciples, he would teach them to pray, he would thank the Father for the breaking of the bread, whatever it is, prayer happened, but in this moment, Jesus knelt. He kneeled down. Why? I believe in that moment, there was total submission to the Father's authority. That's why we kneel when we pray. That's when we go down on our knees and says, I fully, fully lay myself down under your authority. Before he said anything, his posture was one of saying, God, I submit. God, I believe that you have all authority. He didn't bow down to sleep like his disciples. And you know what? Jesus didn't bow down to death. He faced death and he conquered it. And in a moment on the cross, death thought that death had won. But what did Jesus bow down to? He bowed before the one who is final in all authority. What are you and I bowing down to? What gets the allegiance of our knees when the pressure is on? What can our lives look like if we bow to the Father? And then Jesus speaks in his prayer. And I love this, that the Bible says he went a stone's throw away. I thought about having a stone throwing contest this morning to kind of see how far it would have been. And I was worried about the stained glass windows because we might not be back here next week and be kicked out because we're throwing stones in the chapel. But I don't know, how far is a stone's throw? If it's me throwing the stone, I don't 20 meters, 30 meters, how big is the stone? I was trying to figure that out. If it's a little kid throwing the stone, I think all the Bible is telling us that it wasn't a big distance. He actually, I believe, positioned himself there because he showed us something. He wanted these disciples to record what was happening in this moment so that we can have a sermon this morning and look at the model of Jesus praying often, praying, kneeling, and then hearing what he says. And then we find that Jesus was deeply honest in his prayer. Man, I don't know what has shaped your prayer life, but where I grew up, I was perplexed that the reverend would speak like a normal person to me. But when he prays, Vader, ons kom het vir ontmoeting vanochtend na u. And then, amen. Môre julle, lekker dag. Sorry for the Afrikaans, but right, you guys relate. Or the alternative is quiet, relax, and in Jesus' name. Jesus said, you know what? When you pray, don't use a whole lot of words. Just, your Father knows. Speak to him about it. What has shaped your prayer? Maybe your prayer is only shaped by, Father, for what we're about to receive, we are truly thankful. I hope that you've been shaped in prayer through praying for the nations here. Imagine the faith to stand in this room and pray for Peru like we did last week. I want to commend you guys for actually doing it. It takes faith to do that. But when I look at the words of Jesus in this moment, he was just real honest. And you think, you know what I think it models? I think it models relationship. I don't have to come in a certain way and use a certain tone and use a whole lot of words and repeat words and repeat words. It's not sometimes when people just repeat and repeat, and I'm like, do you think God's deaf? You see, we all have something that formed our prayer life. Jesus is just real honest. He says, Father, I don't want to do this. Is there any other way? Can this cup be taken from me? Just being honest. I think if we add more honesty into our prayers, prayer would become easier. Even honesty about our sin. God, I sinned. I had a thought. I hid some money. I treated someone badly. Here we are. Can I receive your forgiveness? And he is faithful to forgive us our sins when we confess it to him. Just be real honest. That's all he wants. All God wants is us to approach him with honesty. And then, after the honesty, he says, but, yet, not my will, but yours be done. And we see again the submissive way in which Jesus prayed. I'm coming under your ultimate lordship. I'm coming under your decision. I'm coming under your will. I will lay down my will right here in the ground where I'm kneeling so that your will be done in and through my life. I know that you can. Let's fill in the blanks. I know that you can heal. I know that you can this. I know that you can that. I know that you can come through. Yet, your will. And then we see that Jesus in his prayer was also receiving. Prayer is never a one-way street. It's us to God and God to us. That's why my favorite prayers are with the Bible open, because as I'm speaking to him, he speaks back to me through his word. To take a psalm and pray through it. Psalm 23, you guys know it. The Lord is my shepherd. God, you are the Lord of my life. And it's capitalized, Yahweh, the I am. I'm speaking to you. The Lord is. Lord, are you still my shepherd? Or I'm finding shepherding in other things. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, you're so personal, God. I need you to be personal with me today. You see how we can take the word and we speak to God and he speaks to us in prayer? It's about receiving. And in this particular moment, Jesus received something interesting. An angel came to strengthen him because of what is lying ahead. And you know what strengthening comes in prayer? It is deep. It is rich. It is better than any other strengthening you can find by 100 or 1,000 friends telling you, you can do it. It's true. I believe it's true. I've seen it in my own walk. I've seen it in the lives of Christians. I've seen it when someone is in their last fighting cancer and they still pray with a smile because there's a strengthening coming that we receive in prayer. And Jesus modeled this to us. It is amazing and fascinating to read the word strengthen in the original language here. It means, get this, receiving overcoming resources. So when we pray and we are in that posture of receiving through his Holy Spirit, we receive resources that will help us overcome that which is coming ahead. And oh, did Jesus need it in this moment because of what he is about to face going to the cross. And then lastly, after even receiving, he persisted in his prayers. It says he was in agony and he continued praying. Friends, imagine your prayer life looking like that. Often kneeling, honest, submissive, receiving and persisting. Here's the model. And in this church we follow Jesus. Second part. Can we try again? We follow
Jesus.
Let's follow him like that. God, my prayer life will be often. I'll be kneeling, I'll be honest. I'll submit to you as Lord over my life. I'll receive what you have for me, and I am going to persist. Because the Bible says, through prayer and supplication means again and again and again and again, keep asking, keep persisting, ask him again and again, you will receive a peace that transcends understanding. You don't know where it comes from, but suddenly you've got peace. And how do we need peace in this world today? And the world can never offer it. And if war cease, we will still not have peace, because only true peace comes from him. If you persist in prayer, the breakthrough will come in your soul. This morning in pre-service prayer, we've got that every Sunday morning, 45 minutes before the service start. Put that in your diary and come join us. Anyone is welcome. In pre-service prayer, we focused again on Romans 14 that says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. What kind of joy? Joy produced by the Holy Spirit. Friends, that's what happens when we pray. We come in right standing, kneeling to his plans and his will. We find a peace that nothing else can offer. And then the Holy Spirit produces in us this joy that bubbles over. I recently heard the story of our churches in China who are deeply persecuted. And amidst their persecution, they've got Zoom prayer meetings where thousands risk their life to sign in and pray. And I think of Jesus. He knew the persecution was quickly going to step up. So he went to pray. I think of our church in Zola, where Pastor Linda and the team prays every morning on Zoom. And when I look at everything they face there, how hard it is out there. Then I look at us and we face things. We go through things. We go through trials. We go through difficulty. Friends, let's persist in prayer in every moment. Let's look at Jesus and let this example be something that we practice. But then secondly, let's listen to Jesus. He actually gave his disciples their prayer script in this moment. He's given us quite a lot of prayer scripts up to this point. I mean, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it ever is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Pause. If you don't pray every day, You missed out on something the day before because it's asking for today's bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation. Now, we can run it off like that and you say, I've prayed. You've got to stop and understand the script. And in this moment, he actually gave them a script. He got up, he went to the garden, they followed him. He says, I'm going to go pray, but pray that you may not enter into temptation. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and he found them sleeping. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray. What do you pray for? That you may not enter into temptation. Jesus knew that the hours and the days, literally the hours, but the days ahead of them is going to be filled with so many opportunities for them to be tempted to find a way out from following him. He says, pray that you will stick it out. Pray that in this dark moment that's about to come, you will rise up, you won't slumber, but you will be awakened, because the enemy, the devil, is walking around like a prowling lion, seeking those that he can destroy. So pray. Pray that you may stand and stand firm and have done everything to stand, still stand. I intentionally read a little further down the story because it says, while he was still speaking, there came a crowd. Don't wait until it might be too late. Because from that moment, it went like this. And Peter's story is quickly unraveling. A few verses down the line, they've captured Jesus. He's following behind. We don't know about all the other disciples, but we know that there was only one sticking it out with Jesus to the end. He followed behind. They took him into the court. And he stood out by a fire that they made in the early morning to be warm. And a young girl asks him, wait a minute, you're with Jesus. And there was the temptation that Jesus warned him about. And he denied Jesus. He said, no, I don't know him. And then another man said, wait, you are one of them. What if Peter prayed? Would it have been different? Because the second time he said, no, don't know him. And then a crowd said, you are one of the disciples. And he says, no, I don't know him. See, suddenly stuff was moving really fast and it was too late. Because it was upon him. They didn't pray when they should have prayed. I can relate to that. There's been moments in my life where things were happening so fast, and I stumble and I trip, and the outcome is not great. And then when I reflect back, I'm like, if I have just prayed and prepared myself for what was coming. And I want to say to us this morning, friends, just look around. Just look at this world. Look at the season we are in. Look at what the media feeds us. Look at all the threats. Look at all the temptations for us to hear the voice of a young girl, and we will fall into temptation and we will deny Jesus. I'm not following him today. Or the voice of another man come and say, you're a Jesus follower, right? So you should not be then like, no, I don't follow Jesus. I am here with you around the fire. Or the voice of the crowd coming and saying, hey, you're a Christian, right? And then the temptation to deny him because of the fear of man in that moment. The voices in this world, friends, will carry on. And I don't need to be a prophet this morning to say it will increase. Are you going to side with Jesus? Or are you going to be sleeping? What will it be for you, Jesus or Peter? Jesus knelt in the garden in prayer and he conquered death. Peter and the disciples slumbered and they lost the battle. You know what gets me? A couple of verses later, there's another Simon. Not Simon Peter, Simon of Cyrene. And he gets to carry Jesus' cross. When I read all the intricacies of the word, I don't think it was just Sommer that it was a Simon. Perhaps it was meant to be Simon Peter, carrying the cross of Jesus in his pain. But he neglected to pray. Which side are you on this morning, Jesus or Peter? You know what? We are all Peters. Every single one of us. And that's the beauty of the story. Is that the invitation of the gospel is that it doesn't matter how many times temptation comes. And we do slip up in our sin. That the invitation still stands. Will you lean in and pray with me? Will you confess with honesty what you have missed, but come back to that place? Come back to the often. Come back kneeling. Come back honest. Come back receiving. Come back in submission. Come back persisting. Because what Jesus faced right after this moment was all the times that we denied him. So church, this morning, I want to say rise and pray. I want to say prophetically that our prayer lives have to up for us to stand firm in the seasons to come. And I'm speaking to the choir because we can all think of moments, including myself. And this morning, we want to pray. We're going to do three things. If you've been sleeping where you should have prayed, ask him for forgiveness and ask him for help the next time. Secondly, if you've been falling for temptation. Now, temptation, yes, sin. But temptation just to choose against him and choose something else other than him. Bring it to him this morning and say, Jesus, help me next time. But then thirdly, can you speak to him about your prayer life for a moment? And ask him to bring the breakthrough that you need. In pre-service prayer this morning, we had a clear moment where someone prayed something and another person confirmed that they had the same impression, that we've walled in God in prayer. That there's some molds in our understanding of what prayer is that has held us back. I believe this morning he wants to break that over our hearts. So let's take 10 minutes. Let's not slumber back into our chairs, but let's speak to him. I'm going to ask the team to just put up those steps, those 5 steps that Jesus took. Have a conversation with him about that. And then once we're done doing that, we're actually going to turn to one another and pray for one another that we will stand and remain firm. Let's pray. Before we pray with one another, I just feel compelled to say this. I didn't sleep much last night, maybe an hour and a half, which I don't like much. I like sleeping. Because sometimes there's just a lot of stuff in one's brain, right? It's not that I'm worried, but I was just thinking about it. You know how beautiful it is to turn every thought into prayer? To wake up refreshed this morning, because as I was thinking about all this stuff, decisions, challenges, opportunities, concerns, I just brought them before Jesus. Jesus, this big decision I need to make, it's taking too much time in my brain. Can you help me? We might get up the next day and you know what's ahead in that day and you're intimidated by it. Jesus, today is going to be hard. It is going to be hard. I realize there's a hard task ahead of me. I'm going to try and make it easy when it's not. It's just hard. But I'm coming to you and I kneel before you and I'm honest with you that I just don't know if I'm up to today. Can you help me? Can I experience that peace? Or when you're around the table with your family, and you guys are in a fix to put down the food and pray. Before you make your morning coffee, to kneel. Before you check your phone, goodness, speak to him. Because there's no walls around prayer, friends. It is the Almighty communing with man. And there's nothing more glorious than that. And his heart is yearning after you, that you would just stop and stop often to speak to him. That's what prayer is. It's as simple as that. Now we're going to pray for one another. I want you to turn to one another and tell each other what stood out for you this morning in the message. And what do you need prayer for? And here's how we're going to do it this morning. Because I know we all like. Later today might be too late. So take the moment now. You can go eat a little later, it's fine. You can let people know if there's an appointment. Give me a little bit more time, they'll forgive you. The roast chicken might be a little bit more roasted than it needs to be. But I'm concluding this service, and we're going to keep music playing. I want you to pray until you're done. I know there's a team that needs to break up, but I don't want to miss the moment. Imagine we're in that garden, and you could hear Jesus pray. You know what the Bible teaches? He's in heaven, interceding for us. He's praying for us right now. Let's join him. Let's pray for one another. Thank you.